Welcome to Capital Talk, our weekly legislative analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by veteran Capital reporter Chuck Johnson of the Bozeman Daily Chronicle and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldin. And Rob, there was a congressional election in my home state of Kansas recently that has both given hope to Montana Democrats and attracted more national attention and money to Montana's congressional race, even though the Democrat in Kansas lost. What's going on?
Right. Well, the Democrat only lost by 7 points, which may not sound super close, but this is a district that Donald Trump carried by 27 points, and that the Republican, who this newly elected guy is going to be replacing, carried by 31 points just 5 months ago. So a lot of people are looking at this result, extrapolating from that, that this is a clear indicator that there is a lot of pushback against President Trump. This is foreshadowing a massive Democratic landslide in the midterm elections. And of course, with a couple special elections coming up, Democrats are now very encouraged. Now, it's definitely true that if you look at the margin, the decline, the underperformance by the Republican in Kansas, and we're kind of to take that and transpose it onto Montana, it does look like a setup for Congressman Quist. But we need to take that with a grain of salt. I think this was essentially just one data point. And there were unique factors to this race. For instance, by all accounts, the Republican ran a very bad campaign. So, you know, we have to be careful about reading too much into it, and I think some people are taking it too far. But that said, despite that wet blanket, clearly there was more going on here than just factors unique to that Kansas district, and there's every reason for Democrats to feel encouraged by it and for Republicans to worry about it. Republicans, though, do seem to have gotten the message. A super PAC associated with House Speaker Paul Ryan has kicked in $1 million just in the last couple days to help Gianforte, and the House Campaign Committee for the Republicans has kicked in another $300,000. So Republicans have been put on alert.
And Donald Trump Jr. is coming to Montana to campaign for Greg Gianforte this coming week, and Bernie Sanders is supposedly coming to Montana to campaign for Rob Quist. So it's getting a lot of more national attention. How does Bernie Sanders help Rob Quist win the vote of an Eastern Montana rancher, Rob?
Well, yeah, to me, that's a question. I guess we should say the Sanders event, that hasn't been announced. It hasn't been confirmed. It's widely rumored, and it does appear that it's going to happen. It hasn't been totally nailed down yet. You know, I think Rob Quist was a Sanders supporter in the 2016 presidential primary. And so in some ways, this visit makes a lot of sense. And of course, Sanders has a deep and passionate following. He'll go over very well here in Missoula. But yeah, I think the question you raise is the important one. Does this actually help Quist statewide? You know, one of Quist's appeals is supposedly his ability to connect with rural Montanans and people in eastern Montana. And I don't know if Sanders is going to help with those slices of the population.
Quist has another ad out, and this one goes after the millionaires in Congress.
Did you know in Congress there are nearly 300 millionaires? No wonder their so-called health reform was just another tax break for the rich. And no wonder they want to sell our public lands to private developers and hand our Social Security to Wall Street. This should not be the Millionaires Club. This is the House of Representatives.
This, Rob, hits all the Democratic buttons: public lands, health care, and Social Security.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice overview statement of the Quist campaign. And of course, not so subtle contrasts with his opponent, Greg Gianforte. And right, so it hits all the populist buttons, and in many ways, totally dovetails with the Bernie Sanders message from last year.
Meanwhile, Greg Gianforte is going all in with Donald Trump. And I recently asked Gianforte why he barely mentioned Trump in his race for governor, but now is all in with the president. And here's his answer.
Well, when I was running for governor, I was running for governor. I was presenting myself for that particular race. This is a federal race. That race was not a federal race. That's the biggest difference.
There might be a few other factors at play, Rob.
Well, right. I mean, Gianforte has emerged as a neo-Trumpian since he launched his current campaign. You know, I don't know. If I'm with the Gianforte campaign, I worry a little bit that I'm picking the wrong horse again. You know, back during his run for governor. Gianforte ignored Trump, which seemed like an entirely reasonable thing to do at the time. I'm sure with the benefit of hindsight, he wishes he would have taken a more Ryan Zinke all-in approach to Trump. And he certainly has this time. But now Trump's numbers have slid a little bit. You know, I'm sure he's still holding relatively strong in Montana, but he is just not in the same position of strength that he was back in November. But at this point, Gianforte is so far out there attaching himself to Trump, you couldn't walk it back even if you wanted to. So
he doesn't
may as well
to.
Just forge ahead.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to want to. This race is getting ever more interesting as the May 25th election approaches, which isn't that far from now. And Chuck, we still don't know if voters in many counties will vote by mail ballot only, but it's looking less and less likely.
That's right, Sally. As you may recall, Governor Bullock a few days ago did an amendatory veto on an election bill to require mail ballots, and it's in the House and hasn't seen the light of day. It's rumored to be one of the so-called desk drawer vetoes, and I don't think it'll ever see the light of day. And as you say, it's getting late. And earlier we'd heard that April 10th was the drop-dead date for election officials to know whether they would go to an all-mail ballot or not. And I think this is essentially a dead issue at the legislature, at least with the Republican majorities.
What is likely, Chuck, is the price of gasoline is going up in Montana. A compromise gas tax bill is still very much alive, though with a smaller increase than originally proposed.
Yes, as it left the House, it was 8 cents increase for gasoline, and now it goes down to 4.5 cents for a couple of years, then 5 for a couple of years, 5.5, and then up to 6 cents increase by 2023. And the diesel fuel, meanwhile, is quite a bit lower, whereas in the House it was pretty similar to the gas tax increase. And this is what the Senate did. The sponsor of the bill, Kalispell Representative Frank Garner, wasn't real happy. Governor Bullock told reporters that he liked the House bill better than the Senate bill, but this is the compromise that seems to be heading toward passage. It's tied in with a lot of other things that might surprise people when they go to register their cars or get a new driver's license. There are going to be all these fees on more than 100 transactions with the motor vehicle people of 3%. And if the gas tax bill doesn't come, it'll be 9.6%. So every time you license a car, transfer titles, and so on, you'll pay this fee. And it's basically to get the motor vehicle division funding out from the gas tax money so that can go for highway funding and match federal funds.
Chuck, opponents to the increase, like Hungry Horse Republican Senator Dee Brown, argue it will hurt people who can't afford it.
The people who aren't here speaking against this bill are our constituents. Remember those people who are working at home, who are working for minimum wage? Remember that they're not being able to afford an electric car, that their car is an old beater. Who are we punishing here?
And she has a point, Chuck. This is going to hurt some Montanans.
It will, although the sponsor of the bill in the Senate side, Dwayne Ankeny, said it would only amount to like $3 or $4 a month. But, you know, for a lot of people, that is a lot. The other trend we're seeing is Republican legislators sort of playing the poor people card. We saw it on the cigarette tax when they said, oh, the poor people couldn't afford to smoke if that were the case. And, you know, that is a little bit hypocritical for some of them, though I think it's fair to say Dee Brown is kind of a blue-collar Republican in her own way.
Chuck, a gas tax is just one way needed infrastructure projects would be funded, but a more comprehensive infrastructure plan is still very much in doubt, isn't it?
Yes. The bill that's in the House now is by Senator Moore of Miles City, Eric Moore, and it calls for $98 million in bonding for infrastructure, and the House did not pass. It failed to meet the two-thirds requirement, a $78 million infrastructure bill by Senator Cuff. So I don't know what's going to happen. There are about 20 Republicans in the House that want no bonding at all. They don't want the state to go in debt. And remember, these take a supermajority of 67 votes in the House. So, you know, it's possible we could end up like last session with nothing. I think people are bound and determined to make sure that doesn't happen again. But I don't think we're going to see $98 million in infrastructure pass. It'll probably be much less. Maybe it'll be the full 78 that Cuff's bill had. Maybe it'll be less. But it would be a great embarrassment for the state if infrastructure fails once again.
And an embarrassment that would cross party lines, I'm sure, too. Rob, we've speculated recently about who might challenge Senator John Tester's reelection bid next year. And this week, a doctor from Kalispell became the first Republican to enter the race.
Right. Al Olszewski from Kalispell was the first one to throw his hat into the ring. Not exactly a household name, but I think Republicans look at this seat and see something that's very winnable. And so it doesn't surprise me that we might not have a lot of Republicans interested in this. Tester, of course, is a senior figure at this point in Montana politics, but he's a Democrat in an increasingly Republican state, and he's never won with a majority, right? He's fallen short of 50% in both of his wins. So again, I just think that Republicans look at this and see a possibility of picking up a seat. And for that matter, it's clear that Tester is looking at the race in the same way. He's been in campaign mode for months now. He's raising a lot of money. He already has racked up $3 million, $2 million of which just came in this year. His communications team is in full swing, as anyone knows who's on one of his email lists. And so they're clearly expecting another tight race, regardless of who ends up being the opponent. And they're preparing for that. At the same time, I think they're also trying to kick up a little dust to maybe make Tim Fox and some of the other potential top-tier challengers think twice about getting in.
Well, this coming week is going to be hectic both at the Capitol and on the campaign trail, and they may wrap up work this coming week, Chuck, right?
I don't know, Sally. That's the big question. People are saying maybe Friday. 90 days would be a week from Friday, and they're allowed 90 legislative days. They've got a lot of work left to do. They've got to get a budget that will pass muster with Governor Bullock. They've got to get an infrastructure bill passed. They've got many, many bills to pass. So I don't know. They'll have a short week. They'll come back essentially to check in on Tuesday. So they'll have 3 days. I hope that some talks are going on over the weekend among legislators so they can reach some deals to get out of here. But there's pretty broad differences between the Republican majorities in the House and Senate and Governor Bullock on the budget. And we'll see if they get those resolved.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been listening to Capitol Talk, our weekly legislative analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I've been speaking with University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldin and veteran Capitol reporter Chuck Johnson of the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. And by the way, my one-on-one interview with Greg Gianforte will air Monday evening during All Things Considered. And Rob and Chuck, hope you have a great Easter weekend.
You too, Sally.
Thanks, Sally.